Good morning.
Morning, DA. How are you?
What's up, DA? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
How is everybody else feeling here?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
It is the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Final hour of the program this morning. The program... It's Bogish and me, Mraz. Damon Amendolara will return to his prize seat tomorrow through the rest of the week. As we try to get some normalcy here to the duh. He'll be out all of next week. The rest of us will be out the 4th and 5th, so you get kind of a convoluted week. And the week after, a little life without me. And then the week after that, the last life with me. So there we go.
So you think... we're going to get normalcy tomorrow when DA comes back to specifically begin the process of saying goodbye to you.
I don't know what to expect. So can I, in all honesty, say something?
Yeah.
It is going to get, for me, because I am an emotional mess. I've already gotten out my good cry. Uncomfortable if we do 3 weeks of this. Now, I know I won't be here for one of them. Uncomfortable. Now, trips down memory lane. Maybe we're trying to rush in some decade of DA stuff that he wants my commentary on. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, I would think that this week is about trying to give everybody like a normal, hey, this isn't going to be here that much longer, normal DA show with me and DA together. You think it's more than that?
I think he spent the last week brainstorming ways to start ushering you off into your new job, and I think that's going to begin tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, perhaps. I just thought I know we're going to jam-pack a lot of things last week. I think this week might be more like, let's just play some clips we plan on playing this summer anyway. And now I'll have you to react to them.
Okay.
So that's our bit. That's our straw bets. And by the way, this should just show you guys, the audience, we really have no idea what's in store.
Communication's not our strong
Pete
suit.
Pete might. I feel like Pete sneakily does.
If anybody should, it would be Pete, because DA doesn't have to ask me to go find things in the system, right, or anything like that.
The only Pete's revealed is a lot of Year of the Buffoon stuff. That's the only thing he's revealed.
We're going to do a compilation of that at the during the last week. That's what I have so far.
So you have no idea what we're doing this week?
Specifically, if there's other things, I haven't been alerted to them yet, but I probably will be at some point.
Okay. All right. So there we go. So we have no idea what's to come, but that's what's up. Carlos with a K in the house as well, showing off his arm tats. He's all chiseled up. He's got a nice Cub hat on, nice Cub Jimmy Buffett shirt. I actually like what Carlos is wearing today, by the way. We always do Carlos Fashion Week. Carlos, I'm liking what he's repping today.
Wow, I was going to go with you are dressed like a Wrigley groundskeeper, that you should be doing the YMCA while dragging the infield.
Can I?
Middle seventh inning, I'm doing a stretch.
Another thing for Carlos, because Carlos is actually a big Giants fan. Me and him text a lot during the season. I guess I didn't realize you were from Chicago when you wore the Bulls stuff because you're a Giants fan. How are you a Cubs Bulls fan? Why are you not a Bears fan?
So I didn't get into football until I moved to New York, and because we didn't have cable growing up, you know, we only had like the local TVs, I started following football, and obviously it was either the Giants or the Jets, and I'm like, I look better in blue, so I went with that, and that's how my fandom started.
You chose the Giants over the Jets because it's blue and not green?
Yeah, what do I look like walking around like Slimer?
I like that take.
Wow, good for you. That's a deep thought from what, a preteen? How old are you this
week? I was 16. No, I was going on 16.
Okay.
I like that take.
All right.
I like it. I like it a lot. You don't like that take, folks?
No, I do. I'm impressed by it. I don't think I've ever heard anybody go, I was picking between two teams, and I picked the one whose colors I'd look better in.
Huh. I made the right choice. Go Giants.
You did. For whatever reason, you picked the right franchise.
Let's go Big Blue.
Do you host a Giants podcast, Carlos?
No, I do not. There is someone here that does, though. I wonder what it's called.
I got news for you. We didn't put one out last week. We might have to have you on this week, Carlos.
Go Big Blue!
We're stretching here. We're trying to buy time till training camp.
Hey, put me in, Coach. I got it.
All right. So, interesting thing has happened in the last five or so days. The Angels have lost four of five games. But their one win... happened to be 25-1 on Saturday. An unbelievable run output. They scored 25 runs on Saturday, but they still lose 2 of 3 to the Rockies.
Did they score 20 runs in the first 4 innings? Is that the note I saw? It was like the fastest of 20 runs in a long time, too. It was insane.
All I know is this. They, over the 5-game stretch, have outscored all of their opponents 32 to 11, 12, 32 to 16.
Yeah.
But only won one game.
Right. They outscored the Rockies by 20 over the weekend and lost 2 of 3.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So the Angels, obviously, with Shohei Ohtani have been a big story. Their general manager says last week he ain't going anywhere now that they've been in the mix. They do have that big game on Saturday. The game was such a monster win. They trade for former Royals hero Mike Moustakas, who was with the Rockies. The guy just traded clubhouses this week.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like a big buy, I understand, but it's another bench piece for them that could give them significant at-bats, you know, bopper, that kind of thing. The Angels are very low-key started the buying process to try to go all in here, Bogues.
You haven't even mentioned their first trade this weekend. They got Eduardo Escobar from on Friday.
That's right. So they've made 2 trades now to try to strengthen whether it's the lineup or the bench. They still, despite losing 4 or 5, sit a game back of the Houston Astros. I'm sorry, a game back of the Blue Jays. The Astros are currently out of the playoffs at 42-36. It's the Orioles, it's the Yankees, it's the Blue Jays, and then right there, the Astros and the Angels, then a game back, Red Sox, Mariners, after that, still within hailing distance as well. The American League wildcard race is crazy.
Here's another, back to the beginning of the show, like I used to be able to name everybody. Other than Shohei Ohtani, can anybody name another Angels pitcher, starter or reliever?
Pablo Sandoval.
C.J. Wilson.
No, but fair guess. Is K-Rod still back there?
What is the Angels' rotation?
Because Andrew Heaney's gone. And now that he was an Angel last year.
Oh, Tyler Anderson's there. He was a Dodger last year.
Okay.
All right.
If you say so.
Patrick Sandoval, not Pablo Sandoval.
There's a Sandoval.
You were right on that, though.
And not the guy from Bravo.
Griffin Caning.
I've heard of him, at least.
Jose Suarez on the IL.
Nah, he's a new person for me.
Reed Detmers.
Oh, okay. Part of the no-hitter, I think, last year, right? Or threw it by himself?
Jaime Barria.
I don't know his work.
No, that rotation stinks. They still have Aaron Loop, Lupe Dupe, Lupe Dupe.
Mets could
Lupe,
use him.
Lupe Dupe, Dupe. Yeah, so their pitching leaves a lot to be desired. But anyway, there's still a game back here.
And their relevance, pay your meter. The bottom line is, away from the specifics, we've been begging for playoff games for Trout, then for Trout and Ohtani, and now they're in position to get that done.
So here we go. They're a game out.
Yeah.
They've lost 4 or 5, but they have that huge output on Saturday. They make now 2 trades for bit players, albeit. Baseball, you talked about, you know, the College World Series you'll be into because you love baseball. We've had that conversation about the World Baseball Classic, which ended with Trout striking out versus Ohtani, and everybody went nuts for that. We never see Mike Trout in the playoffs. Shohei Ohtani, we've never seen in the playoffs. Are the Angels, with this game back as we head towards July, officially, despite all the parity, Diamondbacks, Pirates, Orioles, Reds, good stories in baseball, are the Angels the most interesting story in baseball to watch the second half of the year?
I mean, they should be because, A, they're good with Ohtani and Trout. And Ohtani, I think we've desensitized to what he's doing. It makes no sense. It just doesn't. And you should never take it for granted. So just the two of them make them interesting. Now they're good. Now they're fighting for the postseason. They're in a pretty interesting division with the Astros and the Rangers around them. And they also have the looming question of what Ohtani is going to do when we get to the winter. And I know we discussed it kind of briefly at the end of those shows last week. There's a valid argument to still trade him if you're sure or you're leaning towards sure that he's not coming back and get a trade that the Nats got even better for dealing Juan Soto, because you can't lose him for nothing. And there's an equally good argument to say you've got to keep him and you've got to play this out no matter what happens, because you just need to be good for the first time forever. And maybe if you get in and make a push and make trades to bring in some support, maybe that somehow sways him and he stays with you this winter.
Yeah, and I think that's the overall goal, right? Shohei Ohtani clearly likes something about the Angels when he signed there. The something that's been missing is relevancy and playoff baseball. If they push, and you know how a locker room can come together, Bogues, in a playoff push? If that locker room comes together and they have the time to lose, and who knows? You're telling me that the Angels, we know that they're not a finished product, clearly being active. You're telling me that them in this wide-open American League, what, they can't beat the Rays, they can't beat the Texas Rangers, they can't find their way into a, I'm not saying they will, but because they need experience. I get all that. If they can't find their way into a World Series, the Phillies did last year. We keep bringing this up for all these teams out of the playoff mix this year. Well, remember, all these teams came from nowhere. The Angels are right there in the playoff mix. They might have the two best players in the world. Now, I know Trout's not the same anymore, but two best players in the world. They can't make a run, and that run can't change the feeling of Ohtani, who, by the way, doesn't necessarily feel like a guy who likes to be uprooted a bunch here.
And if the Dodgers are the favorite, he's literally only changing clubhouses.
Right.
Doesn't need to move. There is no real uproot. He just needs to learn a new way of drive to a stadium, basically. It's hard to guess and know what could sway him from this far away and not knowing anything about him, but you'd have to think that part of his frustration is a lack of success. So if you take that away and you show him that we have a plan and we have a path to even more success, maybe that does keep him. And then we get to the contract part of it. I mean, maybe there's a price tag that they just simply cannot get to, and the Dodgers will always have more money than them. But I mean, if there ever was a blank check guy, this is it.
Totally. Totally. So if the playoffs ended today, by the way, in the American League, the Rays and Rangers would have the byes. The Orioles would be playing. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wouldn't be the Orioles. Who's the other division winner I'm missing? Boop, boop, boop. Oh, the Central is way down there. That's what's killing me. Who's leading? The Twins. So the Twins would be hosting the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Orioles would be hosting the New York Yankees. Astros and Angels would be out. I got to think that changes a little bit here. Yankees stink if they don't have Judge. Who knows if the Blue Jays can hang on. We need to see the Angels in the postseason. Angels at Baltimore, Angels at Twins, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in that spot.
And I mean, really,
and that's another thing, too. Baseball, not only do they want the Angels in the playoffs in that wild card round, they don't want them home.
No, they want earlier start times.
Yeah, they don't want to play 10 p.m. games.
Right. And they'd probably figure out, especially in that first round, there's so many games, they'd probably figure out a way to avoid that as much as possible. So as many people as possible can watch Trout and Ohtani. But even like the Orioles, like that's a, they're 18 over 500.
Rutschman, heck of a player.
Yeah, that ballpark needs playoff games.
Gunnar Henderson.
They're calling somebody else up today. His name already is out of my head. But they're not done bringing up ridiculous guys.
Yeah. They're a good team. The Baltimore Orioles are a legitimately good team. I'm going to give them credit. Maybe they're the next Astros. They've tanked for so long. Here they are back with all this young talent.
It'd be nice if it worked once.
Yeah. I like Camden Yards, too. That's a good baseball town. I can smell Camden Yards right now. Ballpark fries in center field, Boot Palace barbecue pit, lemonade with a whole lemon in it. Oh, yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day if we're going to the Mo game again this year.
Yeah, I guess they just announced it, or I thought so. Steven Severna Park announced it.
Yeah, and that's another thing that DA is not going to tell us until it's.
I saw DA respond to Steven Severna Park.
Yeah,
DA I think has said that he cannot make the Mo Gabba day if that is official, because it would be in July and still too soon with AJ to be making that kind of trip.
But, so why don't me and Pete go?
But he was looking at like an August September trip, which I do like DA. I'll just invent my own day,
right?
And go down.
And 4 weeks later, I'm good to leave for 36 hours.
Yeah. But either way, I can't wait for them to honor Mo. Unfortunately, I also won't be able to make it down there. New job.
Yeah, we heard.
Okay.
Thanks for
when we come
us.
Back. Pete gets so mad.
If you didn't hear.
Yeah. 3 more weeks of celebrating. When we come back.
I got it.
I wanted to make sure I got this right. Draymondo Burger? Will an old quote leave a clue to Draymond's future? Ooh, it's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm a dirty piece of garbage.
That's right.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That dirty piece of garbage, Sean Morash and Andrew Bogish with you on this Monday morning. As we've been telling you all morning, tiny bit of a change of schedule. DA returns tomorrow. We'll finish the week in the lead share. Sean will be here. I'll be here. Pete will be here. Cap will be here. Various update anchors will be here as well. No idea what the show is going to sound like or look like this week. I do think that Pete has an idea of what DA is planning and is not sharing, because DA has to ask Pete for help to find old sound and repackage old sound. So the The farewell tour begins in earnest tomorrow when DA returns for the four remaining shows this week. Sean returns momentarily. He's again out wandering the hallways looking for his lost email for his new phone. So should I audition for his job right now, Pete? Should I say dumb things? Should I misread a sponsor promo? What should I do here?
That's a good idea.
Yeah? Let me see. I got this one from earlier. Oof. The fourth word of this sleep number is individualized. Did he handle that one correctly?
Yeah, he was able to spell it, too.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
A lot of individualized in this read. Nothing, though, will be better than when he said disciplines instead of disciplines, which is very early in the era of where he and I were allowed to host the show and DA was out.
Some of the best drivers in the world from all different disciplines. All different disciple lines.
And it was one of those moments where you couldn't believe what you heard. And that's actually a really good example of everyone that believes that Sean is doing these on purpose, making them up. If he was creative enough to take a throwaway read and change disciplines to disciplines and disciple lines, he should be writing comedy shows for TV and movies. He should be on a stage somewhere doing stand-up. He just doesn't know what words some words are. That's it.
What are we talking
to
about?
Our benefit? Nothing. How are you? We missed you.
I'm doing well.
Do you have email now, big boy?
Hold on.
Oh, sit tight.
Hold on.
Hefty. I'm back.
He's back.
Wait, no, that's my Gmail.
Okay.
Hold on. I might be back.
Standing by.
Standing by. Everybody count it down.
Hey.
Three, two, one.
I'm back. I got Boyle stunned.
Right.
I see DA's emails.
Ho, ho, ho.
He really...
Schwartz wrote another column for Barrett Sports Media.
About another person here.
Yeah.
Short commute.
Shawnee's back.
And it was a big wiener. Shawnee's back.
Thanks to our IT team for bringing me back. I'm back, baby.
I just remember distinctly hounding through breaths.
It's so good to have you. I missed not reading the show sheet last night, so I'm glad I'll be back in that cycle tonight.
I refuse.
Right. What does that mean? You don't read when I send the show sheet?
No, and that's a knock on me. I was a very big mistake I made often at the beginning of all of this, not reading the show sheet in its entirety. And I would do what the other guys have fallen into. I would beat you guys to a story. I would steal sound, accidentally play before you did. So it's a very important read. Know the rundown. Know the show sheet. Know what you can use in updates and know what you can't.
You hear what he's saying? You hear what he's saying?
Who are you talking to right now?
What are you talking about?
I talk point of Pete.
What?
I'm making sure you hear what he's saying.
With what?
Just listening to what he said.
Oh, that you don't read the rundown?
Yes.
The one that DA creates especially for you?
Yes.
So you as the executive producer can follow along and tell me when things are or tell the show when things are, or instead I'm telling you?
I think I felt gassed.
Yes, I heard that.
I liked clicking Pete crying pen better.
Than angry Pete?
You pointed at me and you told me to listen to Bogus.
Yep.
And you're not going to exactly get a warm response.
All right. Well, speaking of warm, things are frosty between Chris Paul and Draymond Green, or at least they were, Bogues.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green is currently a free agent. Many have wondered, is he coming back to the Warriors? Well, a new comment has resurfaced from 2020 in which Draymond Green told former teammates and hosts of the podcast, Matt Barnes and, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, I don't like Chris Paul at all. We don't have a good relationship at all. I respect the hustle. I respect his IQ. He is smart as hell. Huh. Well, so he is complimenting Chris Paul, or he did, but he doesn't like him, and he doesn't, and they don't have a good relationship. Now, the Warriors just shipped out Jordan Poole based on a very public lack of a good relationship.
Yeah.
So, which leads me to ask, is this going to work? Is Draymond Green going to come back and play with Chris Paul? Can you have these public comments and figures? I think you can.
Well, they are, 3 years old?
Yeah.
So, it was a different time back in 2020. Draymond needs to get paid now.
Does Draymond seem calmer, though, at any of this?
I think there were some nice things about Chris Paul in that breakdown. He said he liked his gutsiness and his basketball IQ. And Draymond's going to want to win one more time or two more times. And he's going to want to get paid, and the Warriors can pay him the most. So I think he'll figure out a way to coexist with Chris Paul.
So I agree with you, although it is funny to see a team add Chris Paul and then hear another guy going, he may want to win another time or two, and being out Chris Paul never does.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But it just shows you, man, whether it's Twitter, whether it's podcasts, whether it's whatever, be very careful what you say. I dealt with this on a very personal level. I hated Bart Scott when he was a member of the Jets. I didn't like him and Chris Jenkins with Rex Ryan had this pompous attitude. And it wasn't a Jet thing. In New York, they hated, for whatever reason, they hated the Giants. We're done being low. And they used to take shots all the time. And I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand him. I couldn't stand the side of his face. I used to tweet things before I was working full-time in radio about how much I couldn't stand Bart Scott. Pompous jerk. Is there a guy that does less on a football field and thinks he knows everything? And then what happened?
You said, is there a guy that does less on a football field?
Yeah, and talks more than Bart Scott.
Okay.
What happens? I get hired to, well, Bart ends up doing this show, the DA show, where when we were on nights, Bart would do like one night a week with us for 2 hours, and he couldn't have been a greater guy. And as a result, I built up a good relationship with Bart that when he went over to WFAN and they had their three-person show, Bart, Maggie, Carlin, I happened to be here doing middays and they found a role for me to produce both shows for a short time. When I went over there to do that show, I think it was Chris, Carlin, or Maggie dug up my tweets about Bart Scott and revealed them on the air. And I had to...
Great idea.
I had to own them. And Bart was looking at me, knowing that Bart had already had a relationship with me here on the DA show. You said these things about me? And Bart continues to be a friend. We keep in touch. But, like, sometimes you got to realize some things you've said in the past, they'll come back to haunt you if you don't like certain people, and then you need to work with certain people. Mm-hmm. And then you realize you might be an idiot. Like, Draymond Green might now be in a locker room with Chris Paul, and he goes, I love Chris Paul.
Yeah. Although he doesn't need to love Chris Paul. He just needs to not punch Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I think is a fair thing to ask.
Oh, well, lack of punching, I think, is not a lot to ask. Certainly not a lot to ask.
Especially if you've already punched somebody else. To now be asking, please don't punch a second teammate, is a really fair ask from the Warriors.
And Start and Park Racing twitches, and did CBS trade Mraz for Maggie with WFAN? Well, that would be a long time to do a player to be named later swap.
Right.
A very long time.
We also have Maggie back. She was the original Freddie Freeman. She was here, then she was there, then she came back.
That's true. Maggie is back. Also, this from the New York Post, I've found a comment about me. You guys have worked with me, so you tell me maybe good tweet, bad tweet. And this is about me taking on my new role. Sean Morash will join Tiki Barber and Evan Roberts on the post Craig Carton WFAN afternoon team. Morash will contribute to the show, though he won't be on the marquee. That's right, my name will not be in the show. We don't know for sure if it will work with Morash, but he adds some personality with a willingness to reveal anything about himself and legit fanhood. Is that true? Do I reveal anything about myself?
Yes. Are you new?
What does that mean?
It means
you've heard yourself at all for the last 10 years.
I really don't know what that means.
Do you hide anything from the public that listens?
Right, you have no secrets.
Quite a few things.
Yeah, but you have no shame. There are things that you come and volunteer that you should have never told us.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is this all about me pooping my pants?
No, it's about you saying that the Giants Super Bowl was better than your kids being born.
Right,
that
and
one.
Trying on a bra for fun and Macy's with your buddy one time. Like, you tell us things you don't need to tell us.
The Fat Journal.
The Fat. Yeah, but even that was a bit. There are things that you just walk in and volunteer for no reason.
So that's what that means. So I should take that as a good thing.
Well, today
maybe I should stop reading these things about me.
Well, but today, Danielle, you basically threw Danielle under the bus.
No, I didn't. I complimented her for going food shopping.
You didn't.
For the first time in like 5 years.
Because it's been mine.
And that she only forgot dog food.
Right.
There was nothing nice about those sentences.
But how about
you guys interpret things very oddly.
No, as always, you don't know what you're talking about.
The 200 pounds of food she probably bought you. You know, no compliment about that.
Ooh. 200 pounds of food.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's like buying dog food, basically.
You think they just open up a bag of Purina and I stick my face in a bowl?
Basically.
That's not what happens. That's not what happens at all. Boy, I really like that one, huh?
Pete's got some good ones today.
Stop puckering up ahead of the interview process, Pat. All right, what do we got?
All right. Hey, boys. Freddie Freeman got his 2,000th hit last...
Oh, my God. Enough. This is like Joey Votto again.
What do you want me to lead with, Bogues? The guy got his 2010. It was Sunday Night Baseball. It was two of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And you ruined my pun. Because I was going to say Freddie Freeman got his 2,000th hit, but Houston, L.A. had a problem.
Here's the 0-1.
Oh, I don't mind ruining that one.
Tapper, weakly hit left side, coming on Bregman. He fields, throws on the move to first in time, and that is the ball game. The Astros escape L.A. with a victory and win an extras for the first time this year, beating the Dodgers in 11-6-5.
Yeah, Robert Ford, Astros Radio. Bregman's RBI single indeed ensured that the Stros would win in extras. They win that one 6-5, the final in 11. Get this. They were 0-6 in extra innings this year. That's pretty remarkable that it took them seven extra inning games to finally win.
I think it's remarkable that they're only up to seven extra inning games. I would think most people played like 10.
Is that so?
People, teams.
How many games? 70 games we're talking? 75 games? So basically 1 out of 10. That's crazy.
Really? Because it feels like hockey goes to so many overtimes.
That's a totally different sport.
Totally, I guess that's true. Sport. Not a lot of football games go to overtime, but again, totally different sport.
And how many goals win you a hockey game normally? 3? 4?
You tell me, Patty Parlays.
How about that?
Hockey's over. And plus, I usually don't bet on hockey. I think it's a dumb sport to bet on. I think it's next to baseball, the two worst sports to bet on.
Well, that leaves only two other sports to bet, unless you bet golf a lot.
Tennis. We got tennis in this update. Don't worry.
Tennis in Europe is a huge betting market.
But yes, it was a special night for Freddie
Freeman. You don't even bet. How do you know?
Because I know how things work.
He said
without,
earlier this show he's been to the French Open twice.
Yeah.
Well, wee.
But yes, it was a special night for Freddie Freeman. He didn't cry. He is still on the Dodgers, Sean, not the Braves.
No. I knew he wasn't a Brave, but then I did. I knew he went to the Dodgers. I want that established. Really, I knew Freddie Freeman went to the Dodgers.
I'm glad that you knew that.
But I think I dreamt that he got into some kind of spat with his teammates about how much he loved Atlanta and then ended up going back.
Well, it was very awkward about how much he said he loved Atlanta and kind of the whole thing with his agent, remember?
Right.
It was last year, yeah.
So it was last year. I'm not crazy.
Well, no.
No. You like thought a year he was and a half. Gone,
you know what?
Already.
Then I think we thought he would get moved there back there in the offseason. He never did. Maybe that was it.
No, I know what it was. I said to you, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this contract, he's back in Atlanta.
So you said that to me.
I said that to you, but I didn't say he was getting traded
and
to
And then
the
I thought in the back of my mind that happened.
Right.
Because I'm a mush.
Because you don't listen.
Okay. All right. I mean, how many times I come here, I get told I don't listen. I go home, I get told I don't listen.
It's a theme.
Take a hint.
I go to the outlet store, the cashier tells me I don't listen. It's ridiculous.
What could you possibly not listen to what the cashier is telling you?
Give me your money.
How much the plastic bags cost?
Anyway, we still haven't gotten to a few baseball scores here, but I'm a hard hat guy and a professional, so
there
let's go here.
Thank
Luis
you,
Robert.
For you.
Had two big flies. White Sox proved to be the better of the Sox. They were the better of the Sox against the Red Sox. The white ones were better.
Yeah.
White was better than red.
Got it.
Okay.
They won the rubber game 4-1.
How about that?
I'd like a team named the Gray Sox. Gray is a nice color on a sock.
It is.
Good tube sock.
National
the
Gray
Sox. The word tube
Sox
just invokes some old other kind of world. Anyway, this kid, Yuri Perez, pretty damn
this
good.
This kid.
Hey, this guy over here.
Oh, what he's doing over here. He's pretty good, huh?
6 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. Marlins blank the Buccos, 2-0. Perez, 20 years old. He's now 5-1 with a 1.34 ERA. Hasn't given up a run in 21 straight innings now. I mean, not that impressive coming against Pittsburgh. They have totally fallen apart. They've lost 12 of their last 13. And get this, in their last 9 games... Take a guess how many runs they've scored. 9 games.
4.
Oh, come on.
12. No,
15. So 15 nice. Runs in the last 9 games.
I was looking to be shocked.
Well, hopefully that was shocking enough. Corbin Burns was shaky yet again. He couldn't get out of the 6th inning and hold a 3-run lead. His ERA is now over 4.
That burns.
But the Brew Crew held on to beat the Guardians 5-4 the final in 10 innings. Jose Siri homered. Rays salvaged a 4-game split with the Royals with a 3-1 win. Great weekend for Reds.
Siri hit a home run.
That was coming.
Great weekend for Reds baseball. Elly De La Cruz cycled on Friday night in a wild come-from-behind 11-10 win. They sold out the ballpark basically every game this weekend, but the Braves...
Sold out.
The Braves do get the last laugh.
Offering on the way, and that's lifted in the air deep down the left field line. That's slicing towards the pole. That is a fair ball and a home run. Matt Olson makes him pay the price. A 3-run homer down the line, and it's 6-3 Atlanta.
Braves radio, Matt Olson basically swatted an opposite field home run on a ball at his eyes.
Boy, that Olson twin didn't cut it out, huh?
Stop, please.
25th big fly of the year, tying Ohtani for the major league lead. Braves with back-to-back 7-6 wins to finish off the weekend. George Springer hit his 55th career leadoff home run. He's now second on the all-time list by himself in that regard. Blue Jays pounded the A's 12-1. Little trivia time here?
Sure.
So who did Springer break a tie with for second place amongst career leadoff home runs?
Alfonso Soriano.
That's actually a good guess. It's not Ricky Henderson because he has the all-time lead, I think.
It is Soriano.
Yeah.
And I only was going to ask who stands in his way at 81 career leadoff home runs.
Ricky Henderson. As a Yankee fan, I know both of those answers.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, I asked Pete to cue up the music. I mean, but that was quick.
It took Pete longer to get the music than to answer.
Jeez. Anyway. Well, Anthony Santander robbed Julio Rodriguez of a home run that hit one of his own.
Can I ask you? Were you mad that I got that quick?
Yeah, honestly. Okay. I was hoping to be like, I was like, Pete, cue up some trivia music. This will be fun. I want to see if they get either of these.
So, he asked me to cue up music. That's how much he thought you weren't going to get it.
Soriano is a very interesting player to describe to people who didn't see him play.
Yeah.
There's like my son at 9 saw, I guess, I don't know, a card, MLB The Show about him, and like, when he was at like his best, he was awesome.
Oh, unbelievable!
But I have a feeling.
Athlete,
and he used to just flick his bat. He made his. I don't know if he used a huge bat. I think he did. I think he used a bigger bat than most people. But the way he would just flick it like a fly swatter, and it just looked like he's swinging a giant toothpick.
This is very New York-y, so I know that we're on an anti-New York screed. But I don't believe that he would have had a successful career in New York today with this current regime and the way they operate.
He would have struck out 200 times a year.
Not only the strikeouts. Alfonso Soriano wasn't a crisp fielding second baseman. They had to find a position for him when he came up.
Yeah, right.
He played some outfielder, second base. So they played him at second base. Wasn't a great defender. Played next to Jeter, and Jeter helped him out. Now, a lot of baseball, not just the Yankees, is like this, where if you're going to strike out, you better be able to play clean defense. He did neither of those, but back then you were allowed to flourish, and he ended up being a home run and a nice double machine. And ends up being so prized that he's traded for A-Rod. People forget he was the guy traded for A-Rod.
He was the only player I felt that you could, at that time, not now, but at that time, you could bat leadoff and bat cleanup.
Bat cleanup, yeah.
You could count on your hands how many people you could do that with.
And had a nice little run with the Nats, too, after that, and then came back to the Yankees at the end
of his career.
He
was frustrating to watch at times, though, because he would swing at everything. Right.
He was simultaneously overrated and underrated.
Yeah. I used to see him swing at pitches that landed in front of the plate.
Yeah.
But I just remember him as a Cub. He was awful.
That's right. He was a Cub.
He was a Cubby.
As a Cub.
What? He wasn't. I mean, he wasn't that bad.
Did he make any All-Star teams besides the Yankees?
I don't believe so.
I'm going to guess maybe one with Washington.
Yeah. Hey, Alfonso Soriano, Carlos, paved the way for Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and our famous 2016 World Series team.
Yeah, because he was so bad, they needed to call somebody up.
All right.
Alfonso Soriano was not a bad player. He had a good nice
win. Soriano. Had one of those walk-off hits the tying hit versus the Diamondbacks in one of those games, that 2001 World Series.
Yeah, I'm sure he's honored that we've talked about him here. All right, Anthony Santander robbed Julio Rodriguez of a home run and hit one of his own. O's come from behind to beat the Mariners 3-2. By the way, Bogues, they're bringing up utility guy Jordan Westberg.
There it is.
He's 24. He was the 30th overall pick in the 2020 draft. He's played second base, shortstop, third base, both corner outfield spots. And then the Twins beat the Tigers 6-3 in 10 innings. I'm not giving you any more detail than that. I could care less about the Detroit Tigers.
I want to hear about it.
Oh, I didn't check the GameCast, so I don't got
person. I'm sure just they left the Michigan score out.
What'd you say?
Most people just left the score out. Said you said the score and then destroyed the game. I like it.
Destroyed the Tigers. The Twins, right. They could be exciting, but I could not care less for Detroit. WNBA, one more shout-out for Alyssa. Nothing against the city. I hope the Lions are great. I think the Lions will be great this year, but Tigers.
Great? Are we just throwing great around here?
No, I think the Lions are going to win 11 games.
Okay.
But anyway, WNBA, one more shout-out for Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun. She now stands alone, most triple-doubles in WNBA history. 14 points, 12 boards, 11 dimes. Is that, by the way, Carlos, is that okay if I refer to an assist as a dime, Carlos?
1,000%.
Okay.
Carlos makes the rules of lingo with sports terms.
Sun beat the Sky 96-72. College World Series, number 2 Florida, all-time pounding on number 5 LSU, 24-4 in Omaha. Uber poundage. Mega Poundage.
Mega Poundage. Who, Winner. Unbelievably, Instagram account Mega Poundage ends up being the guy making the Orange Julius's at Bob's Bar.
Is that true?
That's right.
They were not Orange Julius's. They were Orange Crushes.
Whatever.
Yeah, Rich.
Bottom line is this. Mega Poundage guy on Instagram is him.
Rich and his girlfriend slash wife slash
Oh, you got
partner.
His name. I forgot his name. Is Rich?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were excellent.
And I can't remember what his girlfriend or wife or partner's name is or what title she held.
Pretty girl, too.
I had a great time with them.
Yeah. I did, too.
And I mean that in the most non-sexual
way possible.
Did
you get, a sense that they wanted to be Gordo in Canada privately?
Oh, that Gordo got too much of the shine?
Or that they wanted their own boil time?
Yeah.
If they, I would have loved that if they mustered up the courage to ask.
Oh. Boy.
I don't think Pete could handle boil as you, Sean.
Does that mean a menage a trois?
Yes. It does.
I like how you get into it 5 minutes later.
While he was Googling it.
No.
But okay. Anyway, we've got a winner-take-all title
work
game. We got a winner-take-all title game tonight, 7 Eastern. College basketball, surprising news out of Tuscaloosa. The kid in Tuscaloosa might be upset by this. Alabama point guard Javon Quinterly announced yesterday he's entering the transfer portal, reigning SEC co-sixth man of the year. Was expected to be a key member of the Sears Crimson Tide squad.
The Sears Crimson Tide.
Would you like me to speak as slowly as this?
So he's going in the transfer portal?
Correct.
Some might call that the Tide Pod.
No one would call him that.
Carlos got a good belly chuckle out of that.
I don't know why it made me laugh so much. I find it hilarious.
And finally, as promised, tennis news. Carlos Alcaraz beat Aussie Alex De Minaur in the final at Queen's Club in London yesterday. That's one of the grass court tune-up tournaments, Sean. There's usually 3 weeks of them.
How does a ball bounce that well on grass?
It's like basically like a putting green.
So it's very fine grass.
I think it's a little bit grass. I would say it's like
no
the
divots?
I would say it's like the fairway, basically. It's a little bit more grass than the putting green.
So, all right, it's end of June. I'm going for it here.
You've been holding back for the last decade?
I'm going for this.
All right.
And I'm being serious because I've joked enough about tennis and how I think it's a crutch with update anchors that they just turn to it for all this stuff.
Oh, no.
Why on earth is there so many different surfaces in tennis and we can't just agree on one?
That's what makes the game so great.
Like, I don't go to a baseball. Now, I guess there's turf and grass, but for the most part, I don't go to baseball and we decide that Fenway Park is going to be concrete. You know what I mean? Why?
So the game began on grass because
we didn't have any other technology.
That's what it existed.
Yeah.
And I think they switched to hard courts because it was easier to make a hard court that lasted, was weatherproof, basically.
Especially at schools and whatnot to grow
up
playing.
Well, and like in Australia where it's 1,000 degrees, I don't know how well you can
get that hot down there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know the history of why they play on clay in France. There is a story, and I probably knew it when I was there 20 years ago, but I don't remember it anymore.
I just wanted to be different.
I think I have a tough time with this part of it, too.
Okay.
And this is tennis for dummies. I'm aware what a hard court looked like. That's wherever I've played tennis in my local school.
Yes.
I see what the clay looks like. It's all red.
Yep. Yeah.
What exactly is the difference in the feel between the clay and the hard?
Oh, significant.
It's like just like soft mush you're hitting the ball into?
Think about playing.
Like, is it like running on Play-Doh?
No, think about playing on a dirt infield or on concrete. The ball bounces differently. It has a different trajectory after it bounces.
Oh, so a dirt,
you have worse footing.
By clay, we mean like a baseball dirt infield.
That, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
Different surface.
It's not firm.
In the red clay bricks that they use. But
so
yeah.
The great tennis players, the Novak Djokovic's,
yep,
the Rafael Nadal's.
Yeah, there you go.
Roger
Federer.
They are really good at learning how to spin it and hit it on all different surfaces.
Some better than others. That's why Nadal is so good on clay. He's like at least 15 wins higher than the next person.
What's what I was
going to
say?
Nadal is basically, here, I'll break it down very simply. Nadal is basically the best that's ever played on clay because he uses so much topspin and the ball bounces highest.
Topspin.
Yes, and the ball bounces highest off clay as it is that the ball basically just springs into the air when he plays on clay.
But forget the major players here.
Okay.
The next phase down, all these tennis players we see in these tournaments,
mm-hmm,
are there some where you're like, he's going to have a much, or she's going to have a much better tournament because they are extremely good on clay, but they suck on grass?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, basically everybody's good on hardcore because that's the base.
That's what you grow up playing on.
clay is a specialty. Grass is less of a specialty. But yes, there are players.
Grass is the French?
No, Wimbledon.
Wimbledon
starts next week.
Yes.
Which
that's the England one.
Yes, to finish my update here. So Carlos Alcaraz takes the world number one ranking back from Djokovic. He will be the number one seed at Wimbledon, which starts a week from today. So if you want some London bacon, let me know.
Strawberries and cream.
Mmm.
So boil.
The 4th of July, the Wimbledon's up.
Yes.
The Wimbledon.
All right, we come back. Your epic fail and your analytics. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
All right, Carlos really hates the word tutties.
Last year, Mercedes Lewis, 6 catches for 66 yards and 2 tutties for the Packers, but he did play at least 40.
Enough with the tutties.
Duh.
Never heard the word tutties?
No, I have.
I hate the word tutties. It's juvenile.
I actually like this. This could
Carlos, come on. Come
it's
to 2023 with me.
It's a touchdown. It's not a tutty.
It's a tutty.
Tutties might as well be a swaddle. It's a diaper. Tutties is obnoxiously immature.
Baby.
I love you. I really do. I hate the word. It's so annoying.
Take a sip of that.
No more tutties.
That really got you, huh?
Hard knocks. I've been hearing it for like 2 years. It's not a tutty. It's not a damn tutty. It's a TD. Stop being lazy. It's 2 freaking letters.
Hard knocks.
I didn't want to interrupt that because that has to be a drop or a rejoin or something.
I think you're an idiot.
This is hard knocks.
Round one.
I apologize.
Training camp with how to interview for Mraz's job, Carlos Fight. Versus Boyle.
Finish him.
It's really lazy. Everybody who uses it, it's lazy. Tutty's not cute.
So lazy versus cool.
It's a cool way to say touchdown.
No.
How do we think a Connor Green or a Billy Jacalone says it?
Billy doesn't say tutties.
No?
No.
Billy just turns the mic on and goes, huh?
It's the Billy Jack Show.
How do we think a Kevin Wall says it?
That's right. I'm into
trying to go inside the interview room here.
Carlos, didn't you trash people that said tutties?
Okay. I got to be honest. I kind of agree with Carlos. I hate tutties.
Keep it or dump it, bro.
I thought we agreed that tutties was out, was not allowed on the show. I thought that day we made a decision
did
on
DA
tutties.
Did DA co-sign that?
Pat.
I thought so.
Pat,
but that's, it's
you
okay
better study
you
up, man.
Tutties,
these are big interviews
tuds.
Coming up, pal.
I notice it.
You're getting jacks. You're getting punchies for strikeouts. You're getting all of it, so.
I don't mind punchies.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Whoa. All right, your advanced analytics of the day. We asked you, is Pat Boyle overrated on looks? Because Pat Boyle said that him and Bogush were the best two-looking people on the show today. And we saw that Pat Boyle had some real meaty movies when we saw his shirt off 2 weeks ago now at Bob's Bar. So advanced analytics tells us Pat is 5'11 and 220.
Yeah. Oof.
He's the youngest of three, and one of his siblings is a doctor.
Yeah.
He is single.
He just kicked
just
the door
in case
open.
Bob and Nancy call it quits. Now, we knew that he had a sibling somewhere in Europe playing on a clay court. Is that the doctor? I don't know. He's doing a fake gum chew now. He seems very angry.
Just ate a protein bar.
Are you
going to
turn
I'm
on
sure.
the mic before the last minute of the show ticks off, or what are we doing here?
I don't want to hear about meaty movies.
Dog!
Maybe that's a new Twitter handle for you, at meaty movies.
Kaplan working?
Yes, Kaplan is working.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh!
Oh, it's back on.
Oh!
How about that for meaty movies?
Oh, dramatic things! The shamrock tattoo!
How can you be skinny and fat at the same time?
Look at that.
Actually, it
is
rock hard.
There's no give there.
There is no give. All right, don't give yourself a heart attack.
Easy.
I'm sick of it.
Pete needs a cold shower. Relax.
Put it on.
Wow. By the way,
FCC's going to fire for visuals now.
Teeny tiny nipples. I got them Silva Dollar Flapjack nipples.
Well, it's because he's got muscle around it.
Yeah.
The muscles over the pecs overwhelming the areola.
I do have big nips.
I was going to say the tiny. He's knocked down the Maggie Gray WFAN jersey's fallen. Pat, by the way, where was that at 8 a.m.? Jeez. All right.
Yeah, tell me about Freddie Freeman.
Thank you to PDB. Thanks to Carlos with a K.
Dog.
Thanks to Pat and his meaty movies.
Dog.
Thanks to Andrew Kaplan.
Dog.
Bogues, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Sean.
All right.
Thank you, Boyle.
DA is back tomorrow. Be good to one of the mothership disconnects.
Dog.